Let's face it, people have different sleep needs. While you love your partner, sleeping next to them might not always be the most comfortable. Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Maybe you prefer a firmer mattress and your partner needs something softer. Because of the individualized comfort that you get from Sleep Number Smart Beds, you and your partner will sleep better together. All Sleep Number Smart Beds feature cooling, pressure-relieving comfort layers for soothing sleep throughout the night. And their temperature balancing bedding is designed to move heat and moisture away when you're hot. When you're cool, they hold their energy to help warm you. The smart beds even automatically respond and adjust to your movements, so you sleep comfortably all night long. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com. /awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Hey guys, welcome back to We Met at Acne. I'm really excited about this episode. I went to LA and I got to meet the wonderful women of That's So Retrograde. And contrary to popular belief, it's not about Mercury in retrograde. I mean, I'll let you guys find that out when you listen after this. But I asked what you wanted me to talk about before this episode and a little solo. And we're not going to spend too much time on this, but I'm going to address like five of your questions. So the first one was, how do you deal with a partner with different fitness mentalities? It's a great question. I feel like it's really hard actually to find a partner with the same fitness mentality a lot of the time. Unless you're those partners who like run together, like in the meme. My partner actually likes running. I like classes, like SLT and all those things. And you don't have to like the same things. I think that's a little unrealistic. I think you just need to, like, if you both like working out in general, that's great. My parents are so like idealistic about it. They go to the same workout class together, but like, that's a little too, I think it can be too much. I think for me, when I work out, like I don't want my partner to be seeing what I'm doing. But I will say Thanksgiving is about to happen. And I know that my partner and I will be going on a turkey run. Just honestly, just like a very quick run before we stuff our faces. But in general, I think, you know, unless one person refuses to work out and the other person really likes to, it's not an issue. And, you know, I think that eventually, hopefully, both will work out just for their mental strength, so much more than physical, because I think that's really important. Spending the holidays with your partner's family. I think, you know, especially if it's the first time, it can be nerve-wracking, but obviously you were invited for a reason. They like you or maybe even love you. And just, you know, take a deep breath. Don't drink too much. Don't get too fucked up in general. Just be present and maybe bring some gifts for people, especially if they're kids. I think that's a really nice thought. You don't have to spend too much money. Just like little things really go a long way. And, you know, if you happen to be going on a vacation with them, just be really grateful. Make sure you thank them after every meal and maybe you do something nice for them in exchange, like get them a massage if you can afford it, or just be very helpful to them if they need you for anything. If you're staying at their home, make sure you're helping around the house, making your bed, helping with the dishes and all that stuff. Someone asked me to talk about the good and bad about my relationship. It's so funny. This person keeps asking like intimate questions about my relationship, the same account. And I'm convinced it's someone on a fake account who just like wants to know, or like maybe someone who knows. I don't know. But I obviously there's good and bad in every relationship. I think I would be lying if I said my relationship was perfect. I think I've spoken about it multiple times, and I'll speak about it on this episode with the girls of Mercury. Mercury. The girls of That's So Retrograde. So you'll hear it soon. But yeah, it's not perfect. I feel like I can really, you know, I love to start up with my partner, and I love to create. I always love to start up with him before bed. I'm like, can you give me a massage? This was last night. I was like, can you give me a massage? Just like scratch my back. And he's like, no, I'm tired. And I'm like, you never give me a massage. You never do anything selfless for me. I just like, I went off. And I just, because there's no reason. There's honestly no reason. He does tons of really nice things for me. But I don't know. Every now and then I just start up, and I don't know why that is. And every now and then he does things that really annoys me too. So I think that's a normalcy in relationships. I think we are a very independent couple, but I know that a lot of couples are not as independent, and there can be issues. Like, for example, this past weekend, I had my friend's engagement party, and it was his friend's birthday, and we had to kind of like divide and conquer. And, you know, luckily that worked out for us. But I know a lot of situations where that can be an issue. I think it's important to discuss like what you're comfortable with, and don't like pretend to be independent for a partner if you don't feel like they're on the same page as you. You know, you really have to both be understanding of what you both need and respect that. Someone said they're 25 and have a serious partner, but they have a divide with friends as a result. It's funny. I feel like I was on the other end of this. Like, I was the friend a lot of the time who didn't understand why everyone only wanted to be with their partners and blah, blah, blah. And I was just being dramatic, honestly. Like, it wasn't like that. And I think 25 is a perfect age of where it kind of starts. Like, your friends are going to spend more time with their partner. Eventually, if it works out, they're going to marry that partner, and it's not about you. So just be a good friend to them. And if you are the person in the relationship feeling this divide with your friends, that's okay. It'll pass. They'll get into a relationship, and then they'll need you just as much as you felt like you needed them. But it's hard. Friendships change a lot in your 20s. And that's why so many of our parents' close friends are ones that they met later in life, because that's just the way that it works. And then something lastly I want to talk about was Justin Timberlake was caught with his hand on a girl's knee. And I'm actually going to do a poll question about this, because I wonder, like, is there any situation in which it's okay or normal to have your hand on someone else's knee if you're not dating them? I don't know. I love him. And he is an Aquarius, so I have a soft spot for him. But he has cheated in the past on Jessica Biel before they got married. And he sings about it in the song Mirrors. So I don't know. Maybe he was cheating again. They're an Aquarius-Pisces match, which isn't the best. But who knows? I'm going to do a poll about it now. Okay, enjoy the episode. Oh, and before I get into the episode, I just want to let you guys know, check out our Patreon. If you go to Patreon, patreon.com/WeMetAtAcme, you can follow along with all the cool things that we're doing. You can get a hat. You can talk to me one-on-one for advice. You can support us and just what we're doing. And also you'll get bonus episodes. It's really cool. Yeah, so this episode is great. I was in LA. I was staying at the W Hotel in Beverly Hills, which is amazing, by the way. You guys should really check it out. It's an awesome hotel, and it's perfectly located. And no joke, there's an in-and-out walking distance from the hotel. So shout out to the W. Yeah, and then go to wemetatacme.com/tour and get your ticket to our show in Washington, D.C. if you live in the area. It's January 28th. We would love to see you.
I guess we need to do a 30-second ad spot for our podcast, That's So Retrograde. What should we say? How about we're best friends talking with experts of all kinds about women's health, self-care, CBD science, numerology, feng shui, and sometimes a celebrity friend stops by too.
Ugh, we're so LA.
Or should we just say it's a fun podcast about loving life, learning, and getting laid?
Oh, and we need to say that it comes out with new episodes every Thursday on Dear Media.
Do we say it's called That's So Retrograde?
Yes, That's So Retrograde. Every Thursday on Dear Media. Hey guys, welcome back to We Met at Acme. I'm so excited to be here with Stephanie Simbari and Elizabeth Cott from That's So Retrograde.
Hi.
Hey guys.
Ooh, in unison.
Yeah, well, that's
we did that.
Well done.
Yeah. Thanks for having us.
I can't believe we're in LA. It's so interesting to not be on the couch, but I also feels more professional.
Yeah.
Right.
Real life. Yeah.
Real life, exactly. Mm-hmm. So how old are you guys and where are you from?
I'm 34 years old and I'm from Westchester, New York.
Oh, mm-hmm. A New Yorker. Mm-hmm. Love it. Which part of Westchester?
Cortland Manor.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah.
My dad's from New Rochelle.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
And, I'm 34 and I'm from Birmingham, Michigan.
Awesome.
It's like a suburb of Detroit.
Yeah, yeah, I know it. And so how did you guys meet?
Tell her.
Oh, I get to tell.
Yeah.
We had a bunch of mutual friends and we just met at a party years and years ago. It was like a very meet cute scenario.
Mm-hmm. I love it. And yeah. You've had the podcast for what, 4 years?
It's going in 5 years.
Yeah,
it'll be
5 years in February of 2020.
So you had a podcast when podcasts were only like news.
We invented podcasts.
Clearly.
We try not to take too much credit for it, but it was our idea. You know, there was definitely podcasts around, like you said, like news or like genre podcasts.
Comedians.
Or like a lot of comedy podcasts. But as like a recognizable medium that people considered like something real and a job and something respectable, definitely that was not a thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been really cool to kind of see it become this like booming industry pretty much like overnight.
Yeah.
Like really, I mean, 4 years is not a very long time.
Right. Yeah. We definitely, I remember feeling the shift. We were at South by Southwest like two years ago. And I had this, someone's reaction to me saying that I hosted a podcast was very excited and that I'd never had that reaction before. But leave it to someone at South by Southwest, like nerd spring break.
Right.
They know what's up.
Right.
But it was like trackable. Like I could say like when because I was doing stand up and, you know, when I kind of decided to scale back on that and do the podcast, people in the community were kind of like, oh, cool, you're like going to do a podcast. And then like those same people are like, your podcast is thriving. Like,
right,
you know, a few
always,
years later. So I'm like, you know, you kind of got to take the hit of like people sort of side eyeing
your
going
dreams.
Your own way.
Totally. And they always will.
And they always will, for
and
sure.
Your podcast is a mix of psychology and astrology.
No. So
it's
that
not. Okay.
Is, well, I mean, I guess in sometimes, but that
right,
specific.
Right.
That was a recent episode of our guest. That's
right.
Her kind of thing.
Okay. So ours how would you describe That's So Retrograde?
I would say it's like a comedic exploration of all things wellness.
Uh-huh.
But it's not like a satire of wellness. It's definitely us in earnest trying to be healthy and gather information and share it. But we're definitely not like here to be very strict about it.
Right. But the retrograde part has to do with
astrology. Because we knew our first episode wanted to cover Mercury retrograde because we're super curious about that. And when we were brainstorming that first episode, Stephanie had tweeted That's So Retrograde. It was like a thing she was tweeting years
when
prior.
Things were fucked up.
And
okay, That's So Retrograde. Like
it's
so
just
annoying.
Like a funny, like levity driven funny thing to say.
Yeah.
And then
levity driven funny thing to say. Put that on my
tombstone. Oh, is this recording? Yeah. Sorry, I just said that out loud.
Hello?
I'm apologizing.
Are you all right?
No.
Jeez.
Just putting words together, just, you know, throwing it out there.
Nothing describing funny has never been like less funny.
You're laughing, aren't you?
Yeah.
So I think it landed.
Okay.
Anyway, so we knew that we thought, oh, let's call the first episode That's So Retrograde.
Mm.
And then we both had this took pause for a moment and we both psychically connected and we were like, no, that's the title for the whole show.
Yeah.
Just because it just perfectly encapsulates our tone, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you say?
Yeah, for sure.
So obviously, I mean, I'm going to ask your signs, but I've been doing my own deep dive. So I'm pretty sure that Stephanie, you're a Scorpio.
Mm-hmm.
And Elizabeth, you're a Taurus, which is so great. Sister signs.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you're like doing this together. So it's perfect to have opposite signs together.
What are you?
What do you think I am?
Oh, this is not my game.
Oh, you hate this game.
Yeah. Well, I'm not an astrologer and I always guess wrong. And then it makes people think that I don't know anything about astrology.
Well, do you?
A little, yeah. I mean, I definitely study it, but like because of my understanding of like the way that people are many different signs. So guessing a sun sign can be tricky because you actually present more like your rising sign.
Totally. Well, yeah. I'll tell you that I'm a sun. My sun sign is a cardinal sign.
Okay.
But my rising sign is Virgo.
I like that.
With a Capricorn moon.
Ooh.
So there's a lot of shit going on there.
Have you had your chart read?
I have, yeah. And actually, I just texted my astrologer that read my chart, and I was like, can I make another appointment with you? Because shit is just fucked up right now, like, in my life. Mm-hmm. Not really. I mean, like, it's coming together, but I don't know if that has to do with Mercury in retrograde.
Definitely.
And, like, the full moon. But it has not been good recently. So I like reviewed my notes from my last reading and I was like, okay, it's time to come back. But do you need to go back? Like,
I definitely love a refresh.
We've got them on speed dial, baby.
Yeah. Yeah.
But something about the retrograde that really helped me because I was kind of like, what in the fuck is going on? Like, I felt like actually until this week, I was like, this is batshit crazy, like just inside. And we talked about this on our last episode, the description of like, pulling the archery thing back in order to go forward.
I'm sorry.
The bow.
While we're calling people out on the their ability thing, to form
by the
sentences.
The fact that I knew what the word archery and not the word bow is like not normal. Took a lot of CBZ today to
the
calm my
bow period. And arrow.
Yeah. So you pull the bow back.
Right.
Goes all the way back in order to release and go forward. But in the interim, you're like taking all these steps backwards. And that's totally what the retrograde felt like to me, where I was like, hold on, I thought I like learned these lessons and I thought I was like overcoming this exact thing. And then all of a sudden it was like I fell down a mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And then so it's just nice to remember that like nothing is permanent.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's just, it is moving forward despite potentially feeling like it's moving backwards.
Yeah, I feel like that's like the lesson of retrograde. It's exactly. Like relax because like things will get back
to their review.
Right. But it's funny because I was like, I always heard, you know, during retrograde, you always run into your exes and like people from the past show up. And I'm like, no one's showing up. But then every night when I go to bed, I have a dream that I'm back with another ex.
A revisit.
Whoa. Which is so weird.
Yeah. What do you think that's about?
I mean, obviously I've Googled it 5,000 times, but I still don't really. I think it has to just be retrograde stuff and just like, I don't know.
Do you know what I would do if I were you?
What?
I would wake up in the morning and as soon before you even
write
like,
it down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go fully back into the dream in your journal.
Yeah.
Because what ends up happening when you start journaling about it is you start recognizing what the pattern is and you start working it out with yourself. And then by like, if you do it two nights in a row by the third night, you're like, oh, like the thing that I'm supposed to realize is this was like, what am I accessing?
That's so smart. I used to. Like, I used to not dream at all because I would smoke so much weed.
Yeah.
And now when I wake up and I have a dream, I'm like, oh, I remember that. So I just assume, like, I'll remember it later.
No, it goes away so fast.
Immediately. Immediately. It's crazy. It's so annoying.
I recently went back into an old journal and read through some of the dreams I had written down. And I was so happy that I wrote it down just because in reflection, I was like, oh, really? I could see exactly what I was working through.
Yeah, that's so smart. I'm definitely going to do that. So we'll start with you, Elizabeth. What is your relationship status?
Ooh, I have been with my boyfriend for the past like 4+ years.
Oh,
we just moved
awesome.
In together in June.
Congratulations. Yeah. Love
so
it.
So adult.
So how did you guys meet? Is he your age?
He's younger.
Oh,
I love
that a lot.
And we met Stephanie, made it all happen.
Really?
She.
I'm a Yenta. I am.
She was dating, my boyfriend's a comic, and was dating his comedy partner. And that's how we met.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe that you can date a comic. That's so brave.
That is what so is it, brave. A chuckle fucker?
A chuckle fucker? Yeah, that's me, baby.
I've done that. I wouldn't recommend it, but
it's entertaining.
Well, he's an improv comic, so it's
okay.
Different.
Okay, that is
he's
different.
Not like a miserable
comic. The Mizzy stand-up been there also.
Right,
that's
right.
A whole other thing.
Right,
yeah.
Totally. And so you said he's younger. How much younger are we talking?
3 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not that much.
Yeah, that's not so bad.
Yeah.
So he's 31.
Yeah.
Cool, because I'm not good at math.
It's so a good combo.
31.
Yeah.
Very cool. So you just moved in together.
Mm-hmm.
So you were together for what, 3 years before you moved in together?
Yeah, 3+ years.
Did you, like, just because, you know, obviously, like, we're women and like what's so like I'm not in a rush. I'm 29. I'm not in a rush by any means, but I have friends that are like, you need to like get it together. Like, you only have a few more years. You know what I mean?
Ugh,
it's like
I
this horrible pressure that honestly
that.
Makes me want to vomit.
That's so antiquated and it's
yeah,
just not.
It's horrific. And like, you should freeze your eggs. Like, what? So dating as a 30, like in your 30s, did you feel this pressure at all, either from within or from society?
In my 30s?
Yeah, like when you had, let's say, made it to the 2-year mark okay. with him, like, were you like, okay, we need to move in? Or
no.
were you chill enough to
It's
like-
been pretty chill. We're both Taurians, Taurus spirit.
Oh, really? He's
yes.
a Taurus?
Yeah, our birthdays are like 3 days from
wow.
one another.
I've never really heard
Taurus
of two Taurus.
On Taurus crime. So I think we're both pretty even keel and yeah. mellow. And for me, my barometer is like, if I'm having fun and I am happy, I'm very present in the moment. And I find when I get tripped up is when I start like future tripping and advanced storyboarding and doing all that stuff. It's very easy to get into that mindset. But if I can ground into the moment and like where we are at the moment, that's where I'm most comfortable. And I find that when I do that, things just tend to like things tend to naturally progress in the way that they should, as opposed to like me trying to force anything.
Elizabeth has a Taurus moon, so she's like emotionally stable or whatever.
Right, right. I have no idea what that's
me
like.
Either.
But that's the best moon placement.
Yeah, it is.
Like everyone says that.
Yeah, it is. Exalted.
So I'm jealous. Yeah, what's your moon?
Cancer.
Oh, that's also great.
Mm-mm.
Well,
it's
no.
very good
it's
for.
It's all great.
It means like you don't love being on other people's schedules and other people's time, but it means that you make an amazing like partner and mother.
Yeah. Well, I don't have any of those things, so that's why it's hard.
What do you mean?
Like, I'm like really sensitive and
right.
like it's my nature to like to want to nurture. And so
mm-hmm.
I feel in not exercising that in being single for so long.
I see.
It can feel out of purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I was going to say when you were like, I'm not in a rush. Like, I'm 29. I hate that pressure. Like, I totally feel that on
yeah.
like a societal, like righteous feminist level.
Totally.
But I also think that if there's any part of any young person who thinks that that's something that they're going to want, not that you need to go at it from like a fear-based mentality, but to really like think about it and consider it. And like the sooner that you can start being honest about that and
right.
like acting in integrity with that and the choices that you make and the people that you hook up with and spend time with, I think that's wisdom that I would have liked
for sure.
to receive as a younger person. Because now as a 34-year-old, almost like in the last 2 years, I was like decided that I wanted that or admitted that I
right,
wanted that. And it's
right.
been a hard journey to like – break down the walls that I created and undo
yep.
a lot of the experiences that I had because I wasn't being truthful with myself about
yeah.
like I was being more disposable with people and
mm-hmm.
then I created all of this story. So it's an interesting balance between like I'm not in a rush but I also know what I want or where I want to go.
Yeah, that I actually can't tell you how helpful that is for me because like I have a boyfriend of a year and a half, a little over a year and a half, and part of the reason things have been like out of whack for me is because I kind of recently like realized I mean, I'm not in a rush, but I want to be married by this year and I want to have a kid by this age.
Yeah.
And I kind of like sprung that upon him from being like, I don't know.
Chilling,
I'm not,
whatever.
Like, I'm chilling. And then I'm like, well, I'm chilling. But like, if it doesn't happen by this time, that's unacceptable to me.
Well, you're allowed to change your mind.
I
think it's great to just know what you want and be grounded in that.
Yeah.
That's actually great.
Totally.
But for so long, I would always say this to Steph. I was like, I want to choose that I'm going to hang out and see my person. I don't want to like be forced to see them when I get home. I'm an only child. It was that's really like where my head was at. And then the universe kind of like thrust us into living together in this weird way.
She had mold in her apartment and was dying from the inside.
And
oh,
so
wow.
I had to like yeah. instantly leave at the beginning of
right.
this year. And then I moved in with him and his two other boy roommates. So three boys, one girl, one bathroom.
Oh, wow.
Cute sitcom. And
a poor sitcom.
Poor sitcom. And then we landed in, you know, after 4.5 months of looking for a place, we landed in this place that is home. And it's so special. And it all happened in this way that I don't think I would have been able to map out. But I love how it unfolded and where it brought me. And I think that I was trepidatious in wanting to make that move, if I'm being honest. Like, it felt like a scary leap to make because it's like a very precious relationship. So I kind of wanted to be mindful of, like, when's the right time and all
right.
of that. Like, it was inevitable, but I kind of had to take my hand off the wheel, and then it all kind of happened without me doing anything.
Right.
Which was an interesting thing to now, in hindsight, be reflecting on.
Yeah, and as a Taurus, like, you don't love change. So there's that too. And also, it's so funny, our last episode with this wonderful woman, Michaela, she was in the same situation. When she moved in with her boyfriend, he had like two roommates. They were all like sharing. It was like a walk-up situation. I don't know how she got into that. I have to revisit that.
They were just so lovely, and like, I didn't have any place to go. Right, and they were just like, my boyfriend was like, you're here now.
Yeah.
And so,
and if you can survive in that situation where you're all sharing a bathroom, like, obviously you can.
I can do anything. Yeah, exactly. I'm so empowered now.
Yeah, you should.
But it was interesting. I did. I mean, we had spoken about we wanted that to happen this year, and I remember having decided that within myself and having really a hard time dialoguing about it. And when I finally did dialogue about it with him last year, it was like I was already had this conversation going, and the way I brought it up was like, oh, I've been talking about this for the past 20 minutes and now I'm just saying it out loud. And he was like, wait, what? It was just, oh, wait. But I think, you know, the words got out and it all ended up happening the way it did. It's just an interesting thing. But I don't think, to go back to your question, I just don't know if like timelines and all of that stuff is like beneficial.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe it is. It's great to know what you want, but sometimes you need to get out of the way.
Yeah.
Definitely. To let things move along as they should.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, it's so weird because you'd think like living in New York, no one would be trying to follow a timeline. But I feel like there's this new wave of like all my friends are married.
The reality is, and I hate to say this, and I can't believe I'm saying this because it's like a new thing for me to be in this at this age. I just turned 34, but just it is like a milestone in a way. Like you do have a clock. Like a lot of my friends between the ages of like 33 and 40 have frozen their ex. And I don't want to do that, but just think about the fact that like we have to think about that. Mm. Like all of us, and everyone's had their eggs counted. Like everyone's like, okay, you know, Elizabeth and I both have parents who are moms who were older when they had us, but still it's like my mom was 36. I'm 34. I'm single. You know what I mean? It's like, even if I'm 38 when I have a kid, like that's still pretty old to have a child. You know, we're living in a different time. For sure, people have kids when they're in their early 40s, but like they're the lucky ones. A lot of people have to do IVF. There is stuff to think about if you want that kind of life. So it's just like, and that's why I've been thinking about this so much because I liked a guy. I like him, but he's a ghost. But he's 42 and all of his friends are like, he's just not ready. I'm like, must be nice to have a fucking luxury to not be ready for a relationship when you're in your early 40s because you have no ticking clock, so you don't have to be ready. You could be ready in 10 years and some fucking 20-year-old will be ready to take your baby to the baby-making place.
Right. You know what I mean? No, exactly.
Like, that's great for you, but like, we have to evolve faster and get ready faster because we only have so much time.
It's true, and that's why so many women who like give me advice will be like, just be with someone like 10 years older. Like, it's the perfect the perfect situation. And I'm like, my boyfriend's 4 months younger than me, which is, like, 4 years, you know?
Yeah. In boyland.
Like,
But you can't control who you end up with.
Exactly. And, like, I don't know if I want someone 10 years older. Right. Like, I kind of want to be on the same page about things that, like, you know, came out when we were the same years old and all that
shit. 10 years is fine. Any more than 10 years scares me because at this point, someone who's 15 years older than me is fucking 50 years old. And so it's like, then we're going to have a kid and you're going to be 65 when our kid is 10. Like, all that. Then once the numbers start going, I'm like, whoa, you can't be older than 44 because that's too fucking old.
Totally. Yeah. And then like on the other hand, I have a friend who's 30 and she's trying to have a baby and she can't. And, like, she has to go through IVF and, like, the whole process. And
yeah, that's hard.
So it's so random. But
it is random.
Moving on from babies.
Okay.
Steph. Can I call you Steph?
That's my name. No.
Okay. You know what I mean? Some people love, like, their full name.
Yeah, she's not a Liz.
Okay. I didn't think you were a Liz. I didn't get that vibe. That's why I Elizabethed you.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
And I think, like, I have best friends named Liz, but I feel like Elizabeth is such a beautiful name. It's like, why shorten it, you know?
Mm-hmm. I shortened it when I was younger because we were learning cursive and I was just like, I can't tackle all those 9 letters.
That's really hard.
A lot. But then, so like people who've known me way, way back.
But there are some people that we're friends with now who call you Liz and it like.
Stephanie knows it like.
It's cringy.
Hot button issue.
I get like a sick pleasure out of it because I'm like, she hates it.
She's melting down.
That's so funny.
But she'll never be like, hey, by the way. Like,
no, I do.
I've never heard you be like, I don't like Liz.
Mm-hmm.
You have?
Oh, yeah.
To every friends time. Or to like.
All of it.
There's one person that I'm thinking of that you never correct.
I 100% did.
You did?
Yep.
Okay, good.
And it's still, they ignored it. So, cool.
I'm the opposite. I actually hate being called my full name, Lindsay. I feel like it's rude. Like, it's like, why are you like being mean to me? Any other form. I actually don't really love Lindsay either.
But what's a good...
Like Lynn or like Linny.
Oh, ooh, yeah. That's very like that. Intimate.
It's intimate,
so
I
you
guess.
Have to like kind of know you to know
yeah,
that.
Yeah, exactly. Okay but Steph.
Lynn.
Yeah, cute. Actually, my best friends call me Linda because the phone autocorrects Lynn's to Linda, so it just stuck.
Oh, that's funny.
But it's like this, I just feel like this like old woman like on a typewriter.
I love Linda.
Steph.
Yes.
So your boyfriend, originally there was a boyfriend in the picture because that's how Elizabeth met.
That was a short-lived boyfriend. Okay. For sure. Okay. I like to think of it as the reason that I went through that is so that she could find her guy. Because it was so short and it was so not aligned. Mm-hmm. It was kind of weird because I was going through a thing at that time where I had been single previously to that for like a while as well. After like someone that I really loved. Mm. So I was single, but I had like just been doing a bunch of work on myself and I had this notion in my mind that, and I'm as a Scorpio, like I like to pick someone. Like, I don't like being pursued. I'm not good at it because it feels like I don't have a choice. So it's like, you can pursue me after I've already decided that you're allowed to.
That's hard.
You know? So it's like, but I have to be the one to be like, I've already decided that I like you. It is hard because if I don't know right away, I know that it's not a thing. Mm. 100%. So, but I was going through a thing at this time in 2015 when I met this person and he was coming in hot and I was like, maybe the reason why I'm alone is because I don't let people like me. Maybe I have a problem with not like I just was experimenting with like a different way of being. And so I let him in and it was only downhill from there. It was a tough situation. We were not well matched at all.
So what was like your longest relationship thus far?
I dated in high school, I had a boyfriend for 2 years. Mm-hmm. And then I had another boyfriend for 2 years in mm-hmm. LA and that's it. So 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you feel like after the 2 year mark, you're just kind of like, meh?
No, I don't think that it's like a time thing. I think like with my guy in LA, he had been previously married. And when we got together, he wasn't fully unmarried. I mean, they weren't together, but there was like paperwork and drama and like a lot of shit that as like a naive 24-year-old when I met him, I was like, he seems like he's got it together and they'll figure it out. And like, I just believed that like things could seamlessly happen, which is not true.
Mm-hmm. Bursting bubbles.
Do not get involved with someone who is, quote, getting divorced. Wait for them to be divorced.
Right.
If you're meant to be with them, when their divorce is over, you will still be able to start your relationship. You do not need to be fucking involved with someone else's drama. And I did not realize that as a child.
Right.
And that became so insidious to our relationship that I realized I was becoming emotionally out of control because of that situation was so emotionally out of control. And I felt in danger of like ruining something about my life because I was engaged with their drama. So I peeled back and broke up with him. And I said, like, if when your marriage is over, like we could, I truly thought we'd get back together. And then he ended up dating someone still while he was still getting divorced. And that girl started, like, messaging me and being like, how did you deal with us? I was like, I'm not over this person. I don't give you advice.
Yeah,
like,
no.
You don't get to message me. I'm still dealing with my own, like, deconstruction and like, decodependent thing. Like, and then he ended up getting her pregnant.
No fucking way.
Yeah. And so then—
And she kept it?
Yeah. They had a kid. And then— They had a tumultuous relationship because, again, you can't build a fucking house on a rocky foundation like that. And then everything was all crazy. And then they had sex again. He got her pregnant again.
Oh, my God.
And then after that, I guess he was then, like, you know, 40 years old and was like, maybe this is the person I should be with. And so now I don't know what the fuck their situation is. I know they have 2 kids. Him and I are no longer in contact because I tried to be friends and it was just like it couldn't happen. So, yeah, that was a hard, weird time for sure.
Definitely weird.
Because I took a leap of faith of, like, we're going to get back together when this is over.
Yeah.
But I'm glad. It's definitely, like, not.
Yeah.
Now.
Like everyone, I mean, like, I know when I was 24, like, I was so naive about relationships. I was just, like, so optimistic.
Because I was like obsessed with him. So I was like, I don't care.
Right.
And I wanted it when I wanted it. And I like wanted it then. And he, even though he was 10 years older than me, he wasn't like mature to be like, I'm so into you. I want this to happen, but I think it'd be better if we wait. Like that never was on the table.
Right.
And so no one was leading that in like an adult way.
So if you feel like you need to kind of like pick people, how are you finding people that you're going out on dates with today? Like, are you on dating apps? Do you refuse to do that? Or like, if you do do that, are you the one sending the like?
I am on dating apps, but nothing ever happens off apps because I don't know. I don't know if it's like my belief that's creating, my belief that I will not meet someone on an app that's creating. But what has happened a lot of times actually is I see someone on the app. Maybe we like each other. Maybe we don't. We never talk. And then I meet them in real life. And I'm like, I saw you on that. And then that becomes like a source of conversation. I definitely prefer, I totally meet people in life. That's all, really.
Yeah.
I mean, I've definitely had like dry moments of like not going on dates and not being open to it and just being frustrated and feeling like, I think now I'm kind of getting into a flow where it seems like people are coming in more easily because I've opened myself up to that experience. And now I'm just like wanting to have experiences with my eye on like, is this something that I can really do? Am I being fully connected to this? Am I so into this? Or is this just something that's like a for right now thing? But I don't know. I have a hard time with that. I have a hard time with now that I'm older with like having sex and having a disconnect.
Meaning, like, the second you have sex, you have emotions.
I'm just
emotions.
Like, yeah, well, we're in love now.
Yeah. Well, that's why I think, and, like, people kill me for these. I have, like, very strong, almost, like, traditional opinions on, like, relationships and dating. And one of them is, like, you really can't have sex, like, for a little bit. And especially not on the first date when you're meeting them for the first time that day. And the only reason I say that is because of what you just mentioned, which is that it will complicate things. And it's not because like, oh, don't be a slut. Like, I'm not slut shaming. I think it's amazing to have sex. If you want to have sex, have sex. But if you want to have like a connection, I feel like you need to like build that connection.
Well, it's hard because there's two things I think about that. Like, I totally agree with you. Like, I just had this experience where like I met a guy, we had amazing sex. And then I was like, tried to peel back from that and then like date him. And I was like, I didn't know where to stand as far as like my energy was concerned because we had like so much intimacy and we had this like serious closeness and then you like don't know that person. So you have to start from like getting to know you after you like know them. And it's like this weird, it gave me so much anxiety. But on the other hand, it's like you also have to know you want to have sex with them. Like to me, when I don't feel like a carnal like desire right away, I'm like
friend zone.
But I guess there's the waiting even though you feel it, but that's so fucking hard. Like, I don't know,
you can treat like there's a mix between friend zone and waiting. You can kind of like treat them like you're getting to know
totally
a friend, you know.
And I did that like last year. I decided because of this, because I realized that once you have sex with someone, you fully don't see them clearly at all. You project like a full reality onto them.
If it's good sex. If it's bad sex, you're like, I see you clearly.
Yeah, we're done.
Well, for so much of my 20s, I would just have sex with people that I didn't like because of that. Because I was like, well, this is a lot easier than like involving myself with something that I could actually care about, which is what a lot of the undoing has been about.
I see.
Because I was like, I can just fuck and like, who cares? But then I'm like, why are you in my house? Like, I hate you. Such a bad vibe. But last year I was like dating and like just making out or like going really slow. And it was interesting because a lot of times after like 3 dates, I'd be like, oh, I get you now. And I'm like, not into you because I'm not clouded. Or like, I would really want to do it. And then they would be like, we should wait. And then by the time they would want to do it, I would like be over it. It was like, there was some lessons to be learned in the waiting. I don't know what the answer is.
I don't know. Yeah. I so see that. But then, like, the first time my boyfriend and I hung out.
Yeah, but that's little bit different because you guys were in the same circle for a second.
You knew each other.
You
had met or hung out before.
Yeah. So it wasn't, like, a full new person.
I agree. Right? I think, like, when you're meeting literally that night for the date and you're like, hi, I'm Lindsay.
Yeah.
You know, if you have sex that night, it's like—
It's done.
Oh no, I've never done—
That's too much.
My thing was because of a wedding.
this recent one.
Oh, well, wedding sex is different.
That's in a different
totally different zone. Ball game. Like, you're like going through a lot of emotional.
But I wasn't going through any emotions.
No, but just like you're at the wedding and like you're crying and they're walking down the aisle and like you're thinking about yourself and like your wedding. And
it's
like,
funny because I didn't
just, like,
think
it's,
about
wedding crashers.
Okay, so I've had that where I've had like fake wedding boyfriend.
Right.
Like with Joe, the meatball.
Mm-hmm.
Like he was like my, Joe the meatball was like my like good friend from home. Right. Like we started having sex like when we were in like college and then like literally slept together on and off for like a decade.
Mm.
And then one time we went to a wedding together and then that made us like be in real contact.
Right.
To the point where like, you know, we then were like every time we'd be in the same city, we'd hook up and it was that, which was different. This was like, and I felt things. This was like my friends from home, like my first wedding. And I was like, now you're my person at this wedding.
Right.
But with this one, it wasn't like that. Like, it was not like that at all.
It was just like, oh, you guys were going to hook up.
It was just like a fun thing. And I wasn't like, because it's at a wedding, I just was like, oh, you're just here. And like, and what am I going to do? Like, not.
Right.
But then coming back to LA, it was like, now what?
What happened with Joe?
Okay. So Joe and I kind of started, like, getting a little bit more serious. And we would, like, FaceTime every day. And
is this Meatball?
Meatball.
We don't name them. So.
Yeah. So he came to L.A. He got, like, a Malibu house. We, like, spent a whole weekend together. It was, like, really fun. And then that's when we were, like, okay, are we kind of dating? And then we were going to another wedding in Florida. LOL, we're, like, wedding, full on, like, a wedding relationship.
It's like that movie.
Yeah. And then this is kind of sad. I got to the wedding and he was like sick and doing drugs and was like so sweaty. He was just in this like full on like sweaty cocaine.
Oh,
like,
God.
And literally sick. Like he'd been sick like weeks prior to that and was like being real like handsy and Italian with me.
God.
And like wanting to like fuck. And I was just like, Joe, you're like, because I'd known him for so long, I was like, you're fucking grossing me out so much. Like, you need to step off of it.
Demerit.
And then I ended up getting drunk and, like, making out with someone else at that wedding. And then I think Joe found out. And then we, like, didn't really talk at all until, like, a few months later where I was like, hey, I'm sorry. I feel like I was rude to you. And it just wasn't meant to really, like, be a thing. But yeah, I don't know. He was sweaty and cokey, and I wasn't into
it. Yeah, I would not.
Yeah. But I love him.
Yeah, of course.
But I just, again, was like, I can't.
What signs do you typically date, or does it vary?
It definitely varies. I don't know that I have, like, a specific. I would say I don't date Leos, except for my high school boyfriend. And I don't date Aries. And I don't date, well, I've dated an Aquarius, but it wouldn't be my preference. But everybody else I think I'm pretty good with.
That makes sense. It's a Scorpio.
Yeah. Aries I feel like is too much and like lacks a depth. And then Leo is like so fucking obsessed with themselves. It's insane.
Ridic.
And then Aquarius is hard to connect with emotionally.
Yeah. That's my boyfriend. But I'm a Libra. So it's like, so am I.
Yeah.
It works.
So it's perfect.
You know, it could be whatever. Someone's moon sign, they're Venus. Mm. Like, there's a lot of different things at play, but that's been, like, my general experience.
Right. I get that.
Leos are hot.
Oh, for sure.
But my, like, example of a Leo is, like, when you're having sex with a Leo, they're looking at their own body.
Yeah, like,
they're, like, on top of you. They're like, damn, I look so good. And you're like, okay, king. Like,
terrible. Literally every Leo that I've been with, like, has 100% cheated on me. Like, I don't even know for sure, but I know for sure. Do you know what I mean? I feel like, and, like, no disrespect to my Leo guy friends, because I have tons of them.
Yeah.
And they're great friends. But I think as partners, like, they really think that they are the king.
King
and,
of
like,
the jungle.
And, like, have many queens.
100%.
Princesses, whatever it is.
100%. Or kings, whatever you guys want.
Sure, exactly. Or other kings, yeah.
Yeah.
Anything. Okay, so now I want to revisit some of the questions that other people asked me to ask you guys.
Ooh.
Okay.
So.
Listener generated.
Someone asked, 33-year-old female dating a 26-year-old male.
Hot.
Is that too much of an age gap?
No.
Well, do you think it's too much of an age gap?
I think it depends on what we were talking about before. Like, if this person has some timeline in their mind and whatnot.
Well, I was asking them.
Oh, right. I would ask, like,
to you.
Right,
is that
person having, they're asking, maybe.
Is that person having fun and does it feel great? I think that there is, like, scientifically speaking, there just is a window of like the male development at 26 versus a 33-year-old woman.
However, point counterpoint, nothing is better than a young fucking guy in his sexual prime fucking you when you're hitting your sexual prime as a woman. Because our shit gets better after we turn 30. Their shit gets worse.
So true.
So get a young guy who's like can fuck many times because you're not going to get that from older guys.
It's so true. And it's so funny. When I was like 21 and dating, I used to think that like a guy was – like a real adult man, like mature at 26.
Yeah.
Isn't that so funny?
Totally.
Like looking back, I'm like, oh.
Totally.
So bizarre. Okay, we're going to ask some poll questions, which I feel like are more interesting. So we do these poll questions on our Instagram, and they're either very specific because people submit them, or they're more general because I come up with them, or a mix of both.
Okay.
You just got out of a 7-year relationship,
mm-hmm.
and your ex is Venmoing a ton. I don't know if you've ever Venmo stalked someone.
Yeah,
but it's
make
real.
Your fucking transactions private, everyone. Right, right. That's my public service announcement.
Yeah. Venmoing a ton with a person 4 years younger of their desired sex. Is this a new love interest or just a friend?
They're kicking it.
Yeah.
For sure.
Obviously.
But like, also, why isn't he paying for her? She's 4 years younger.
Yeah, you got lucky getting out of that relationship.
Literally. Oh my God, I should have responded and told that person that.
That's so sad that, like, Venmo stalking is just another way to make us feel like shit.
Exactly. There's so many ways.
So sad.
It's crazy.
Wow.
Do you think guys talk about their dating lives with their guy friends?
Oh, yeah. Yes. I do.
Yeah. So to get more specific, what kinds of things do guys talk about with their guy friends?
I think it depends on the type of guy.
Yeah.
Some guys talk about, like, that they like someone and they're being cool about it, and some guys talk about it in a fucking filthy, like, locker room type way.
Yeah.
It just depends on the person.
Mm.
But I talk to my guy friends, and, like, a lot of my guy friends turn to me to talk about dating, which I like because it's, like, that means that they're wanting, like, a sensitive opinion and mm-hmm. they're trying to be, like, a good person.
Right.
And I think sometimes they feel maybe not comfortable being vulnerable with one another. So maybe it's more that they talk to their girlfriends about it is my final answer.
Yeah, I like that.
I would say, yeah, I feel like my exposure to these conversations have been me being brought into the fold for an opinion.
Yeah.
So. Right.
Okay.
And also, just like as an ad, a lot of girls, I think, are jealous when guys have girlfriends, and that's a very big mistake.
A lot of girls
get jealous when they start dating a guy and he has friends who are girls.
Oh, that's so stupid.
And that's very dumb.
So moronic.
It's a good sign.
It's such a good sign. Yeah. My boyfriend has so many girlfriends. Yeah. And they're all like my friends now.
Exactly.
Also, like, they would have dated. Like,
totally. You know
what I mean? Exactly.
Or maybe they've already.
And exactly.
So and it fine. Wasn't the thing.
Whatever.
Totally.
Do you check your ex's and ex's new significant other's Instagram?
I used to.
I mean.
Check his Facebook because that was when Facebook was a thing.
Yeah. One, like, finds their way there.
Right.
But, I mean, it's there. Why not? We had a friend who he's dating someone new, and our other friend who is dating him, she had checked out the new girlfriend's Instagram stories, and then she blocked her.
Right.
And we were like,
God.
Relax, everybody does this. And she's like,
that's on her. I'm sorry, she should have done it from a different account, like a private.
Fair. But it just like, I just feel like to make that a thing, like she said something to the boyfriend about it. She's like, your ex-girlfriend looked at my stories. It's like,
one time,
who
not
wouldn't?
Like she's living there.
No, but trust me, I think that she was, that was bitchy and like cunty to do. But like every girl does it. So you just have to be smarter about it.
Yeah, but I think
like,
that
I think here's the thing. She
friends.
Has no romantic connection anymore.
Wasn't,
so it's just
but
curiosity.
Still, especially if she has no romantic connection anymore. She should make a fake Instagram.
No, because she
that's
wasn't
too much.
Yeah, that,
no,
to me
no,
that's
no, no,
so
no.
extra. Like it's not like she was like, now what I need to do is check out my ex and his girlfriend. She was just like on Instagram,
that,
saw something tagged, followed the fucking rabbit hole, and then was
we
like,
all
oh,
get
yeah,
into
but
the rabbit
I
hole.
Think I do think that it's like, why give that girl the satisfaction? You know what
See,
I mean?
I don't care about that. I think it's if anything, she should take it
well,
as like a compliment.
Obviously, that girl didn't take it as a compliment.
I know.
Went,
made
clearly,
it like a full
told
thing.
The guy, made it a drama.
Clearly. But that's on her. That, to me, shows immaturity and insecurity
definitely.
On the girlfriend.
Definitely.
If it were me, I'd be like, look away, bitch.
Yeah, me too.
No,
I'd
fine,
be like,
fine.
Me out here.
Like, we all do this. It's so funny. I, like, when Instagram wasn't a thing and Facebook, like, was barely a thing, I used to check my ex's voicemails.
Okay.
Which is so psycho.
I've checked my ex's email.
Because his password was, like, his birth date. It was, like, 0425 or some shit.
Yeah.
And
you're like, or some shit. You know what it is.
I know what it is. But if I say whatever. It, I'm like, I'm back to him. You know, whatever. And it was so satisfying because him and his new girlfriend would fight over me all the time. Like,
hilarious.
Fight about me all the time.
That's
he was still talking to me.
Yeah.
And she had, like, this raspy voice. And, like, I have a pretty low voice, but hers was, like, very raspy. And she'd, like, leave him voicemails and she'd be like, I know you were talking to her. Like,
oh, no.
I saw the thing. And I'd be so satisfied, like, sitting there listening to this voicemail.
Why?
It was really sick. I, like, never, I, like, did it. I tried to check it, like, 6 months ago. And I was like, what am I doing? Like, there's nothing here.
I had an ex-boyfriend of mine, his ex-girlfriend. So then when we started dating, she started a Facebook group about me because I used to be a burlesque dancer. And she was like, the name of it was I Hate My Ex-Boyfriend's New Girlfriend. And then this in the copy of the description, it was like, and she's a stripper and blah, blah, blah. And like went in on me. And I had gone to like an art school at
first.
Are
you a stripper?
So I didn't no.
Oh.
But open to it. And
at this point?
I don't know now. But at the time, I definitely should have leaned in. And I had, like, I didn't even have my own Facebook yet because I was at, like, an art school. And this was, like, first version of Facebook when you were at, like, a Big Ten college would have it. And so then, like, I got onto Facebook. And that was, like, the first thing I saw was this. It was insane.
That's so fucked up.
Yeah.
That's
and, like, her
bullying.
Whole sorority joined it. Ugh.
Ew.
Rude.
Ew. I hate that.
Young people are so fucking stupid.
So stupid.
Like, I'm sorry, but who has the time for that?
Yeah, no.
I think it was just, like, cool to start a group online.
Right.
Like a chat room. Evolved
it was
chat room.
It was cool at that point. Okay, Elizabeth, this is more for you just because you're in a relationship at the moment. But when you have a relationship issue, are you more likely to talk to a friend who's also in a relationship or a single friend?
It depends. It depends, like, both.
Right.
I think they're both good. It depends, like, if I need, like Steph for me is such a pillar for just point of view and perspective, and she knows me so well that I would kind of I go to her about everything, so
right.
It's more like the person and like what they're offering.
And just because
right.
I'm not in one now don't mean I don't know nothing
yeah
about
she knows totally. She knows totally. Stuff but
yeah.
Like it's also when my boyfriend and I first moved in together I had some challenges of just like cohabitating and apparently that's normal. No one talks about it.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I'm like, wait, what?
I mean, it's everyone like, always almost breaks up the week they move in together.
See, this was news to me, was having an internal meltdown.
Yeah,
but,
well, that's a full fact.
Okay, cool.
Full fact. Like, every single person I know who's moved in with their partner has told me that. Okay, is it a red flag if you have a magical whirlwind first week together and then they ask you to be their girlfriend after a week?
Is it magical. A red flag?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, no. I mean, here's the thing. It could be or it could not be. You don't know. I would say, is that person a recovering alcoholic? If they're recovering.
Addiction transfer?
If they're transferring their addiction, then maybe. Or you maybe just met someone magical.
Yeah.
I actually so disagree. I think it's such a red flag because maybe unless they're
but
like
some
40,
people have,
you know?
Have that experience.
Right. Unless they're 40.
To our friend today
but
about it
usually is the case that like you'll have this magical weekend and like you'll rush into things and like it'll end just how it started like very quickly.
There's that. But there are the special stories where you're like, yeah, we just met and it was like a thing.
Yeah.
Who knows? But in my experience, usually when you rush into something, it's someone that is a recovering alcoholic.
Yeah.
I mean, no
or
shade.
Or just someone
but
who like has some other, like just an addictive
trying to
personality.
Fill something.
Addictive personality, yeah.
Okay. So I'm assuming we went over those 4 minutes. So we're going to end the way we usually end our episodes with a quote that you guys love or just like a piece of advice that you can share with us.
Quote on the spot.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, you know, we say this, our show is wellness focused, and we always say there's like no one right way to do anything.
Right.
Like we like to present just like all the options and then form your own toolkit. And I would say in your line of questioning today, which is super interesting, I think that it's great to have other people's experience inform your experience, but there's no one right way.
Yeah. I like that a lot.
Well, my quote, I can't remember, which is unfortunate. My piece of advice, I think I started with it, which is what I've been learning, which is that, like, it's okay to want a relationship or it's okay to not want a relationship. But, like, to be clear with yourself is really, really important. I feel like I spent a lot of years like denying that I wanted something because I was afraid, and I had a lot of judgments around like what that was because of what I had known. And it's cool that I'm learning it now, but it's also tough to learn it now because there's like we were talking about, there's like something at stake, which is like the future, my future, yeah. Where before I was like, you really don't realize you're getting older until suddenly you're like, oh my God, like next year I'm gonna be 35 and then I'm gonna be 50. You know, like yeah. It happens really fucking fast. Right. So just work on your shit so that you can meet someone dope, because you don't want to end up in the fucking bad relationship because you're in a bad place. So many people settle because they just don't want to be alone, and I just feel like that's really sad. Like, wait, I think it's worth waiting, but you also need to be like not just being like everyone sucks. It's like if you're meeting someone that sucks like all the time,
that's on you.
You suck.
Yeah, facts.
So figure that out.
Yep. Thank you guys so much.
What you seek is seeking you.
Linda, we love you. Thank you for having us.
Where can everyone listen to That So Retrograde, follow you guys, et cetera?
We are also part of the Dear Media family. Mm-hmm. And we're on every Thursdays. On every Thursdays. On Instagram, we're at So Retrograde. Mm-hmm. And I'm Elizabeth Cott.
I'm Stephanie Simbari.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
If you enjoyed the episode, write us a review and check out our website, wemetatacme.com, for more information on our upcoming shows. One of them is January 28th in DC. So check it out.
Okay. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.